Blog Talk Radio.
Give her-
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you all for your patience here. I was having a little technical difficulties here on the line, but all is well right now. Thank you all for holding on and not moving. Amen. I was already praying and ushered us in to receive the lesson here today in the name of Jesus Christ. So just kind of holding a little bit because there were some technical difficulties here, but I hope you all can hear me fine now. So let us pray. I had already started praying and noticing there was a problem here with the system. So, Father God, we just want to say thank you, Father God, for the opportunity that you allowed us to come once again boldly to the throne of grace, asking and receiving in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we come to be changed by your word, Father God, not to lead to the same, Lord God, but to be filled and be effective in the work of your kingdom. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So we just want to say thank you for your words. If there's anyone lack any wisdom, to come to you and we shall receive. So that we ask right now to receive revelation and knowledge and wisdom of your word so that we can apply to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. Oh Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you allow the scripture and all that we learned here today and our lesson here in Bible study to take root and manifest in us mind, body, soul, and spirit and be engrafted in our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our mind stayed on you, that you'll keep us in perfect peace. We come against every hindering spirit on the line today. We come against every unteachable spirit, every spirit of fear, doubt, every spirit of pride, self-righteousness, self-delusion, self-pity. We come against every familiar spirit, every spirit of destruction. We come against every spirit operating in us or on this side or in our home, outside the Holy Spirit, and we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we decree and declare by faith and in the name of Jesus Christ that we are free and free indeed, that we can decree and declare victory over this lesson, victory over our lives, all that we have, all that we will have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. For God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Welcome, everybody, to Wednesday night Bible study. I tell you, these weeks are just flying by. These months are flying by. So I would encourage everyone to enjoy every day, every moment that God has given you to be here in the land of the living with your family and just thanking God. And I was thinking before we came on here for Bible study, there was someone that put a post on Facebook, a lady that I met some time ago, and I hadn't heard from her in a while. And so she came back on Facebook, and she was saying that how she had been battling with cancer. She had been gone, and she decided then to share her story. And I was just thinking, I was like, Lord, so many people, young people of all ages, all kinds, are dealing with cancer. And, you know, and why is this? And why are so many people being robbed of their beauty, being robbed of, you know, of this, because of this disease? And where did it come from? And I was just kind of, you know, asking that question and still, you know, waiting for the answer of what's going on and understanding that God will allow some things to happen. And so we just need to stand in a place of praying and trusting God for deliverance for our life and the life of our family members and loved ones, because God is still able to heal and deliver us from all that the world is trying to destroy us with. We know that the Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's what the world is set up to do, not God and what God has for us. So I want us to understand sickness does not come and disease does not come from our Heavenly Father, but he will allow certain things to happen in our lives, amen. But we have power and authority, as we're saying on the shout today, to speak to those things and to come out and be delivered from it. We have a power in our mouth, but only by faith are we able to activate that authority that Jesus Christ has given us. Amen. By faith, amen, we will move mountains. Amen. So tonight, you all, if you were not with us on last Wednesday during our Bible study, you can always go back to catch up where we are today. All services and Bible studies and readings are on archive here on Blog Talk, so you can always go back to the blogtalkradio.com/ the preacher and the pastor. Amen. And you can click on and listen to any Bible studies that you have missed or Saturday lessons. So today you all were talking about double-mindedness and Satan's master plan to destroy the human race. Amen. Double-mindedness and Satan's master plan to destroy the human race. If you go over to the book of James, and I'm going to give you all the opportunity to get there tonight, the book of James chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Amen. If you can hear me clearly, I just need someone to press 1 for me because I don't have anyone here to let me know if the line is open and everybody can hear me or if it's breaking up. Okay, thank you, Minister. Thank you, Sister Dillard. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist Kim. Thank you. Amen. Just want to make sure, because I don't know unless someone is here to tell me, hey, we can't hear you, or it's breaking up. Okay. So we're in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. The Bible says in James, chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So double-mindedness is a great problem in our society from which Jesus can heal and deliver. So double-mindedness is connected to the psychotic disorder called schizophrenia. Where a person's mind and personality become so fragmented, you are, and tormented with delusions and instability that eventually they become unable to function in society. So schizophrenia sometimes means split personality or split mind. So schizo, you are, is a Greek word that means to rend, to tear violently, open or unfold. Severe schizophrenia, you all, is treated by psychiatry, you all, and with drugs. And as history shows, even shock treatment due to hallucinations and delusions, mental illness and insanity. In other words, there are different degrees of schizophrenia, and most degrees do not require hospitalization. So though schizophrenia and double-mindedness are one in the same, I will use the term double-mindedness because schizophrenia is interpreted by many to be a severe mental illness, and most would not even entertain the idea that they may be schizophrenic. So the majority of double-minded people manage to function in life and have some successes, you all, yet they still have characteristics of a spirit of schizophrenia, causing them to be constantly unstable in every area, never having any peace about who they are or what they can or have to accomplish. They may not always go to a place of insanity to which the world describes schizophrenia. So, who has a problem with double-mindedness? That's a question. How many people are affected? That's a question. Frank and Ida May Hammond called it Satan's master plan to destroy the human race. Almost every person who comes to us, because we're a deliverance ministry, or some people are, people have been a part of ministries, even when I was in Africa, for deliverance, is found to have varying degrees of the network of demon spirits called schizophrenia. Some would teach that Christians can't be, some would preach that Christians can't be or have a spirit of schizophrenia, but please know that when James said that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways, he was speaking to the saints. He was speaking to the saints. So we all know people, including ourselves, who act at times in polar opposites. So the minister who is godly, prayerful, and holy at times, and yet has a period of sin and perversion. So the believer who lives a strong Christian life and then has seasons of backsliding. The person who is outgoing and cheerful yet falls into bouts of withdrawal and depression. So the person who is hardworking and a perfectionist yet has periods of lethargy, you all, and sloppiness. So the person who is gentle and kind and yet has periods of outbursts and rage, it is almost as if you are dealing with two people. So this, you all, is double-mindedness. This is double-mindedness. The Greek phrase for double-minded is diplosuchos. So it literally means double-souled. So a person in this condition is always wavering. They're irresolute, you all, doubting, changing, and inconsistent. So the synonyms for double-mindedness include indecisive, inconsistent, unpredictable, erratic, hesitating, wavering, procrastinate, questioning, doubting, lingering, delaying, not firmly placed, you all, unsteady, lack of emotional control, and and the like of. So the double-minded man has problems making decisions and sticking with them. He is also always changing his mind concerning relationships, career, ministries, and church dues to instability. So I want you to understand this. Double-mindedness is the polar opposite to stability, which means not likely to change or fail, firmly established, not easily moved or disturbed, not easily moved or thrown off balance, firm, steady, not likely to break down, fall apart, or give way, not volatile, you all, or very infrequently within a narrow range, not subject to mental illness or irrationality. Six, firmly says not to be easily moved. How many can say that they fit this description in their personality and makeup? How many of you all can honestly say this about yourself? And I'm going to open up the line to those who I know that don't have a problem with speaking. I'm going to open up the line to you in just a few seconds here. So God did not create us, y'all, to be unstable people. He created us in his image. God is not unstable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is dependable and consistent. He wants us to be the same way, you all. God's purpose is that we have one stable personality and not be torn with multiple personalities. We should not be back and forth like a ping pong ball. We should not be up and down like a yo-yo. God desires for us to be steadfast and immovable, according to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let's go over there tonight. That's 1 Corinthians. If you go with me, you all, 1 Corinthians, so you can lay eyes to it for yourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that's going to be verse number 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always bounded in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. So he knows that instability can keep us from excelling, you all. To excel means to surpass others or be superior in some respect or area to do extremely well. Amen? To do extremely well. So, you know, God created us to excel in life. He wants us to excel. We need stability in order to excel. I sent a lady a message the other morning. We were getting ready to go to the show, and it was a word that came for her quickly, and I didn't have time to explain it, but the word that went forward for her was, in order for you to grow, to excel, you need stability. You need stability in every area of your life. And she messaged back and said, what do you mean by that? Can you explain? I thought I'll get back with her later to explain it to her, but that was the word for her because there was no stability. I don't know what her life is, but the Holy Spirit knows and was speaking to use me to give her that word. You need stability. You know, you can't be in, out one day, and under somebody that's on one day, off one day, emotions everywhere because you can't grow. You can't excel in that area of your life, in ministry, any area. You need to have stability. God calls us to be stable and be one mind, sound-minded. So at this time, I'm going to open up the lines, and if you have any questions or comments so far, please do so, just for the ones that I know that are okay. Anybody that's just getting on with us here, I won't open up your lines unless you press one so that we can hear from you, okay? Amen. Minister Lauren Green, do you have any questions or comments so far?
Yes, one comment that I have is that we are filled with people all around us, like in the workplace, that are double-minded. And they harbor this type of spirit, and you have to be careful not to allow that spirit to get into you.
That's right.
I'm constantly praying. And you have people that like to make gestures and jokes and that is totally unclean and know that you're a Christian, they will purposely say obscenities to you, and you're in a situation where you don't want to report the person because that person is capable of causing you harm. But this is a spirit, and this is it's a horrible spirit. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. You have to be prayed up. You have to pray without, because that's something you run into, people that are double-minded.
That's true. That's true. Yes, and they'll put you in a place where if you're listening to it, you'll find yourself speaking that same thing to someone else, and it carries on. And this is the trickery of the enemy. So then get one speaking, it gets you to open up to hearing it. Now it's in you. Now you're speaking it, and it goes on and on. It's a trickle-down effect. Amen. Thank you for your comment, Minister Lauren. God bless you. Amen. Sister Dilla, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't. I don't have any.
All right. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Evangelist Kimberly Redford, do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I was going to say, when you were talking about the double-minded man, unstable, I don't know, I just started thinking about how in the old days, they used to, I always have this thing where they say, oh, it's like I got a little devil on this shoulder and a little angel on this shoulder. And it's just tug of war. It's a tug of war. And then I'm reminded that the scripture says, let this mind be in us that's also in Christ Jesus. And I would not imagine Christ having a devil on his shoulder. He tug of war. You know, so that's us. You know, that ain't no devil. You know, and then we allowing that mess. Just like Brother Lauren said, you got to watch who you're associating with and stuff and allow that mess in. But no, we got to let this mind be in us. In Christ Jesus, and his mind is on doing the will of the Father. So I know that they always show that on the movies and stuff. Like, no, that's not true. We can't allow that. So, yeah, so that's the style I've had for tonight so far.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your comments. We appreciate it so much. God bless you. If anyone else have any questions or comments at this time, it is an opportunity to press one so we can hear from you. And I just ask a particular individual, because I know they're okay with me opening up the line for them to be able to either give a question or comment. So I thank you all. So we're going to continue on and with the lesson. So you all, I was trying to understand the desire and plan of the enemy is to cause unbelief, doubt, questioning, reasoning, wavering, and confusion to rule our lives or to rule your life. Demons will come to attack you because the devil knows that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you are unable to receive from God and others, amen, and you will constantly strive to fulfill these voids selfishly and through immediate gratification. So if you lack stable faith, you all, you become double-minded. Two opinions, two wars working inside of you. These opinions can become two distinct personalities, and though you, your real personality, know you should have faith, and faith will not be working fruit in your life as the unstableness of wavering will cause you to be tossed to and fro. See, this is why in James chapter 4, verse 8, we learn that those who are double-minded, their hearts purified. It says, those who are double-minded need their hearts purified. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And this is the King James Version. So as our hearts are purified through deliverance, we grow to love God's word and hate double-mindedness. In the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 113, the Bible says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. That is Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 113. So you cannot be double-minded and love the word at the same time. Double-mindedness will draw you away from the word. There are many with divided loyalties, you all. We must hate double-mindedness and fall out of agreement with it. Amen. We must submit to deliverance, and this will happen if we hate it and desire to be free. You got to have a desire to be free. I want to talk about how double-mindedness begins in rejection. So we've been ministering deliverance, and we've been having our deliverance services. I've been having quite a few here lately, and I'm amazed at the number of people who suffer with the spirit of rejection. You have a lot of people that are dealing with the spirit of rejection that's on them even right now, and that have been in the church, and they're dealing with the spirit of rejection. Rejection is so common, you all. That is always present when ministering to people who are demonized. This is because rejection is a wound that usually begins early in life, and a wound left untreated develops into an infection, and we know that. And demons are like germs that are attracted to a wound and cause an infection. So in other words, what begins as a wound develops into something much worse. So not only do rejection wounds, but it also affects a person's identity. The person rejected feels as if there is something wrong with him or her, and therefore will reject himself. And the spirit of self-rejection usually accompanies rejection. So the enemy begins to set up false personalities within a person who has been rejected. So the core of the rejection personality is rejection, self-rejection, and fear of rejection. So no one likes to be rejected. I don't know about you. I don't like to be rejected. Who likes to be rejected? So it is a hurtful and painful experience. Most people avoid it at all costs. So fear is a stronghold within the rejection personality. Fear of being rejected, or hurt, or laughed at, abandoned, mistreated, so on. The rejection personality is the inward personality. Rejection causes a person to withdraw or isolate oneself. So this is a defense mechanism, you all. It is the equivalent of the ostrich sticking his head in the sand, if I may say. So rejection is the sense of being unwanted, the agony, desperately waiting, wanting people to love you, but being convinced they do not. They actually may be loving and accepting, but when you are suffering rejection, you are unable to believe or receive it. So there is a aching desire to be a part of something, but never feeling that you are. So to compensate for rejection, some become withdrawn like a turtle in its shell for protection, and others explode with anger and hatred, fighting bitterly against the pain and injustice. The rejected people often spend their lives seeking a meaningful identity outside of a true relationship with God. Amen. So this is how rejection enters you all. Rejection often begins at a young age and can even start in the womb. Prenatal rejection is common and can occur with unplanned or accidental pregnancies, an unwanted child, or illegitimacy, you all, rejection from the father, the mother, or both, or even in rape. So middle children can be vulnerable if they feel the parents favor the elder or the younger children. Family rejection can include abandonment by one or both parents, whether intentional or perceived, abuse from authority figures, you all, either emotional or physical, adopted children, children with birth defects or birth order, middle child syndrome. I'm an oldest child, but I know I've heard of the middle child syndrome and favoritism amongst children, death of a parent, or parental neglect, or overbearing parents, or perfectionist parent. So you all, societal rejection includes rejection from peers, you know, awkward features, racial prejudice, social or economic differences, bullying, or mistreatment from authority figures, teachers, coaches, and so on, just to name a few, and understanding how rejection enters. So demonic spirits associated with rejection, you know, rejection is not only a demon, but it's also a personality. So the rejection personality is comprised of different spirits that join rejection and strengthen rejection. Demons are like gangs, you all. Just as different gangs have different personalities, the same is true when demons, you all, hallelujah, when demons gang up in an individual, demons are drawn to emotional pain and will come into a person suffering from rejection. So demonic spirits that come in as a result of rejection are lust, fantasy, perversion. Lust is a demonic struggle for true love. Rejected people will seek out relationships and often get involved in sexual immorality at a young age. So the spirit of harlotry, can manifest at a young age and can be seen in young women who dress provocatively, you all. Sexual impurity has become rampant in our society. We see it everywhere, especially in social media. Sexual lust spirits include adultery, fornication, whoredom, harlotry, seduction, sexual impurity, perversion, homosexuality, lesbianism, masturbation, pornography, incest, fantasy, lust, sodomy, uncleanness. Lust is not only sexual, y'all, but can also manifest in materialism, you understand, overindulgence, food addiction, gluttony, bulimia, anorexia, extreme dieting, drug and alcohol addiction, clothing, and so on. See, the fantasy cluster of demons includes pornography, daydreaming, and can lead to having excessive hobbies that the person can flee into escape reality. The perversion cluster of demons can lead to homosexuality and lesbianism, fetishes and molestation, and other, you all, defiant sexual activities. Perversion can be a manifestation of self-rejection, you all. When people reject their own sexual identity, they're simply attempts to overcome rejection. And that's what people, if you're seeing this, what people are dealing with, or if you're seeing it in yourself. So insecurity, inferiority, you all, rejection makes a person feel low and causes low self-esteem. Pride, vanity, and ego compensation spirits for rejection. So these spirits make people feel better about themselves. Self-accusation, you all, when the person blames himself or herself for rejection. So is there something wrong with me? They question themselves. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe it's my fault. Depression. It includes despondency, you all, despair, discouragement, and hopelessness. There are multitudes of people who suffer from bouts of depression. Many of them are being medicated, or going in and out of depression is a sign of double-mindedness, you all. This also includes withdrawal and isolation. Depression is at an all-time high. There are many people being treated for manic depression, bipolar. This can even drive people to hopelessness and suicide. Depression can cause a person to desire to escape, which can lead to sleeplessness and abuse of alcohol and drugs. Perfectionism is another. When a person has suffered rejection, you know, he will tend to attempt to compensate. People tend to compensate by doing everything perfectly, hoping that no one will reject him or her. This becomes bondage and opens the door to spirits of pride, ego, and vanity. Some of the signs of perfection spirits include obsessive compulsive behavior, rechecking others' work, having logistics of religious or Pharisee spirits, being nitpicky, critical, judgmental, intolerant, frustrated, and hypercritical. People with perfection spirits will force others to reject them and drive the rejection that they have deeper because they're almost impossible to live with. Amen. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. And unfairness of rejection. The rejected person often feels life is unfair and people are unfair. They will often take up causes to rid the world of unfairness. This is a manifestation of false compassion and false responsibility. They often get involved in animal rights, involving rights, or homosexual rights, and that their type are alike. So, and sometimes these groups become violent in their attempts to rid the world of unfairness and anger, bitterness, rebellion and resentment, or the opposite, strongholds of unfairness and rejection. See, there is a biblical gift of mercy that has true compassion on the hurting, but false compassion is fleshly and demonic, you all. It's demonic. Guilt, shame, confusion includes condemnation and unworthiness and shame. But shame is defined as painful emotion that's caused by a strong sense of guilt or embarrassment, unworthiness, or disgrace. Shame is connected to confusion. Amen. To confusion. So sensitiveness, you all. Let me make sure I'm saying sensitiveness. Rejected people are easily hurt or damaged and are delicately aware of the attitudes and feelings of others. Rejected people are overly sensitive to every word and action. They are easily offended. They're easily offended, inordinated. You are affectionate for animals. Reject the people who desire love and will receive the unconditional love of pets, of a pet. There's nothing wrong with having affection for pets as long as it is not inordinate. Fear is another. Fear of abandonment, failure, hurt, rejection, dying, witchcraft, authority, germs, darkness, marriage, dogs, accidents, men, Jezebel, confrontation, poverty, and more. There are also extreme fears such as panic attacks, terror, apprehension, sudden fear, and more. Talkativeness, nervousness, worry, and anxiety and tension can also be a part of fear, cluster of demons related to rejection. Paranoia, you all, is defined as a tendency on the part of an individual or group toward excessive or irrational suspiciousness, so, and distrustfulness, you all, of others that is not based on objective reality, but on a need to defend the ego against unconscious impulses. They use projection as a mechanism of defense, and it often take the form of compensatory megalomania, you all. Let me say that again. Megalomania is an obsession with grandified or extravagant things. In other words, they have to have the luxury things, the more grand things, more extravagant things or actions. So those who are obsessed with power, fame, and status can often be paranoid, believing everyone is out to take it from them. Paranoia can be seen in blaming others, accusation, disillusional accusation, suspicion, and is rooted in fear. Paranoia is a baseless suspicion of the motives of others, so it is rooted in fear and rejection. The rejection personality is always questioning the motives of others and judging them without a cause. Without a cause. Before we go any further, I want to know if anyone has any questions or comments at this time. I will open up your line. I know that's a lot to take in, but just understanding, dealing with a spirit of rejection in your life and how Satan uses this to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy the people of this world. Amen. So I'm going to open up your line again, Minister Learn. Minister Learn, Green, do you have any questions or comments so far?
Yes. In my life, I have suffered from rejection growing up and dealing with peer pressure and dealing with people saying that you're too dark. You're cute, but you're too dark. I can't date you. And other times of rejection, but I praise God that I am healed, that I am whole, that I walk in peace with God, and that God has helped me overcome that thing. You know, so I'm just so thankful and so grateful that I do what is called a check with myself every day. If I can't feel God's presence or his peace or his love, then I start praying instantly. Or anytime somebody tries to reject me, I start praying. And I found out that that's what we have to do in order to overcome that rejection. You have to pray without ceasing.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that comment. I'm sure someone listening today, as well as myself, received that and understand. At some point in time, I believe all of us experienced some form of rejection, and even today, still dealing with it, whether we want to shed light on it, but understanding how we can be delivered from that and stay delivered from it. Amen. God bless you, Brother Minister Learn. Thank you so much. Amen. Sister Dillard, Mama, you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't. I was just listening to I think everybody, well, I guess I do have something to say. Anyway, good evening, everybody. But
good evening.
Everybody has some type of form of rejection. I was just sitting up here thinking, like, have I been rejected? Yeah, and I thought, like, yes, you have. So it's just a way of just dealing with it, you know. That's what I had to say.
Amen.
Yeah,
God bless you. Thank you.
Definitely delivered from it. Yes, God don't let that boss be rejected.
Amen. A lot of people can't move forward because they have fear of being rejected. A lot of people won't start their business or get out there. Even when I started doing plays years ago in comedy, you would have some people that were like, okay, go on in and speak to that person. They'd be like, nah, I'm afraid. And then I would just go, you know, overcoming, worried about if they're going to reject me or not, just go on, okay, and move on to the next person because it will stop you from progressing in life, and that's what the enemy wants you to do. And people that they're still dealing with that spirit of rejection, it brings on other spirits, and that's what we're talking about. Then you're housing other spirits, and other things are now happening. This is the work of the enemy. That's a way in for the enemy to come in and operate, to tear down all that you are, all that you will be in Christ. Amen. Minister Evangelist Kimberly Ruffer, you have any questions or comments?
Yes, I just want to say we're proof that God can take the rejected and make them the elected. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. Sister Connie, do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, on the rejection part. It's I didn't know my baby, my little chocolate baby, was rejected by these girls because he went to live with his dad when he got at a certain age.
Oh.
So that was some new information for me. But my little chocolate baby can't. But seriously though, I do understand, you know, what he's saying and where he's coming from, because, you get even rejected when you're light-skinned, too. So, you know, mm-hmm. I've gone through some things. Oh, just because you're a little high yellow, you think, no, I don't think that. You think that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it still goes on, even, I noticed, too, that the group that I work with now mostly are older, retired people, men and women, at the bus barn. And I noticed, too, that some of them go back to their little high school mentality, and they do and say a lot of things. And some of them will say, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. Y'all pray for me. Excuse me, Lord. No, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. You're doing it for attention. And now you're being convenient. So you're gonna be what? A Christian when it's convenient? Those are the ones I get really disappointed in, and I kind of get up and just walk. I just walk on because I don't feel no. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. So, but
Lord,
yeah, I understand.
Yes. Amen. We thank you for your comment, and hallelujah. I knew I was like Miss Connie, I knew she was going to say something. I didn't know my baby had this. It's something that we do keep in, and at some point it will come out. And just to know that I believe at some point we all get, whether you didn't fit in because you didn't have the money, or you didn't look this way, or you didn't sound this way, or because you're not a man, or because you're a woman, or, you know, you didn't have a degree, or you overqualified, or you're not qualified enough, you know, dealing with that rejection. Amen. Thank you for your coming. God bless you. God keep you. We're going to wrap up here, you all. Just going to go over a little bit more here, then we're going to wrap up here in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Also, another one is indecision, you all. Results of procrastination, compromise, confusion, forgetfulness, indifference. Indecision is one of the most debilitating problem in life, because life is based on decisions. So indifference is an attitude that causes a person to avoid making decisions. Procrastination is another way of avoiding decisions by just putting it off for a future time. It can also be rooted in the fear of making a decision. Our choices pave the way for success or failure. So a double-minded person, you all, has a difficult time making decisions and often changes after making one. So this results in wavering and always questioning a decision. Proper decision-making is the result of wisdom and a stable personality. And to wrap up here, passivity, last but not least, causes funk. listlessness, you all, and lethargy, continual sadness, crying, defeatism, dejection, despair, despondency, discouragement, escapism, fatigue and gloom and gluttony, grief, guilt, heartache, you know, heartbreak, hopelessness, hurt, hyperactivity, indifference, and inner hurts and insomnia, laziness, lethargy, listlessness, you all, loneliness, mourning, negativity, passivity, rejection, self-pity, sorrow, and kindness. It's dangerous, you all. It's the danger of passivity. Passivity immobilizes a person. Passivity results in withdrawal and lethargy. It takes away the natural desire to be aggressive in life. Passive people will not pursue and go after what they need to succeed in life. Passive people will let others do it for them. Amen. So you all, we're going to wrap up here, and we're going to let's just talk a little bit about rebellion that follows rejection, and then we'll wrap up, okay, in the next 5 minutes. So rebellion is the other personality, you all, that is one of the two personalities of double-mindedness. In Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and 23, Samuel rebuked King Saul for his rebellion by equating it with witchcraft. So Saul is the biblical example of double-mindedness. If we go over to 1 Samuel, you all, quickly here, I don't want to keep you out much longer. 1 Samuel, it's a lot in one study. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, so you can go with me together and read it for yourself here tonight. Chapter 15, verse 23. Amen. That's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. The Bible says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king. So this is what the scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Saul is a biblical example of double-mindedness. Rebellion is often the result of rejection. Rebellion, especially in children, is often a cry for attention. So the core of the rebellion personality is rebellion, disobedience, and anti-submissiveness. Rebellion personality is the outward manifestation of double-mindedness, the polar opposite of the rejection personality, which is inward. The rebellion personality acts out, lashes out, and shows out. Amen. All right, y'all, so we're going to wrap up here tonight. Our time now is 7:48. We thank you, Father God, for this opportunity that you have given us one more time to be able to come and receive in the name of Jesus Christ, and we too may be changed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against every spirit of rejection right now, every spirit of double-mindedness. We decree and declare by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power in his name that we are one mind with Christ, and we do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, a sound mind, and love. Amen. Soundness. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Father God, we ask in Jesus' name as we leave this call, whenever your presence, oh God, that your angels will go before us preparing the way, oh God. And even as we sleep on tonight, oh God, let your angels be encamped around us, oh God. Send your angels, oh God, to stand in your presence. Oh Lord, the angels of restoration, the angels of divine knowledge and wisdom, the angel of healing, oh God, to come and minister to us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, that we may be too healed, delivered, set free, and blessed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Lord. Father God, we bless your holy name. We give it all over to you right now forevermore, for our life belongs to you. Our life is not our own. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would just have your way in us and our family members, in our homes and all that we have. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name for all that's on the line today that have attended Bible study, Lord. Lord, I pray for a breakthrough in the heavens on tonight, that you will, hallelujah, open up the windows of heaven and pour our blessings upon our lives and our homes, that we won't have room enough to receive, that others will be blessed, cover, overflow. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, let us be healed right now from every sickness, disease, infirmity, ache, pain, and discomfort that may be plaguing our lives and the lives of our family members and loved ones and our bodies and soul. And we just want to say thank you that by faith we decree and declare by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his name that we are healed, delivered, and set free, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against in judgment you shall condemn. And we thank you for, Lord. And we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all all things but fail, and the promises of God and the Holy Spirit of the living God that dwelleth in us all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. Thank you all so much for being here in Bible study on tonight. It has been a pleasure and an honor, and I just thank God for the opportunity and for you all coming into agreement on tonight. You all have a blessed night, and I'll see y'all on Sunday, and those will be able to tune in with us on Saturday for our lit lessons. I'll hear from you then. But in the meantime, Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. for Sunday service, Central Standard Time. God bless you. God keep you. I love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say,
give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally start breathing, yeah.
One time.
Write my name in the book, call me
one time.